Healthcare workers are under immense pressure these days. They have to deal with shortages of protective equipment, such as gloves and masks. They're pulling long shifts, and they risk being infected with the coronavirus. SideFX Public Media's Carter Barrett reports on the toll on their mental health.
The language of this pandemic is one of wartime. Nurses and doctors fighting on the front lines against what some politicians have called an invisible enemy.
I mean, I hear nurses every day describe it as a war zone.
Emily Sego is a chief nurse executive at a large hospital group in Indianapolis. Sego oversees more than 1,000 nurses and says the shortage of protective equipment forces staff to reuse materials.
So you can only imagine what that must feel like, you know, sticking your mask in this little brown paper bag and putting your name on it for the next day and hoping that that is going to protect you for your next shift.
Katie Feely, CEO of the Indiana State Nurses Association, says nurses face other pressures too. They're logging 60 or 70-hour weeks amid a shortage of healthcare workers.
Honestly, when they leave for their shift, they're packing their bags expecting to stay for 2 to 3 days at a time.
Sego is already seeing burnout, and nurses questioning if they want to stay in the profession. And it's likely to get worse as this crisis stretches for weeks, months, or even longer. Researchers surveyed 1,200 medical professionals in Wuhan, China, the original epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. More than 70% reported feelings of distress. Others also said they had increased anxiety, depression, and insomnia. Nurses and other frontline health workers had the worst symptoms.
When we think of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, the hallmark feature is that the person is encounters some form of life-threatening situation. So certainly that criterion would be met in this particular situation.
This is Dr. Netta Gould, a clinical psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. She also directs the university's mindfulness program.
I think, everyone is operating on kind of fight and flight mode right now, just trying to keep themselves above water.
When this crisis is over, those seeking help might struggle to find it, especially in the Midwest. A report from the U.S. government found that in 2016, every Midwest state reported shortages of psychiatrists. And the report projects this shortage will worsen by 2030. Other mental health workers can help close this gap, but it still may not be enough.
There's a lot more of us in the big cities, and there's a lot more of us on the coast. I mean, you can't walk 3 blocks in Boston without running across a psychiatrist. But you could go all the way, you can drive all around Idaho and never meet one of us.
That's Dr. Joe Parks, a medical director of the National Council for Behavioral Health. He says the distribution of mental health professionals has long been an issue. Parks is hopeful that relaxations on regulations around telehealth may help fill this need. And he says while not every traumatic event requires a mental health professional, they still deserve attention.
I don't think we should ignore the possibility of it's happening and not ask people about it.
As the crisis continues or tapers off, Dr. Gould says burnout or post-traumatic stress will be more likely. She recommends letting hospital workers know it's okay to feel anxiety or sadness and to allow space for these feelings. For Johns Hopkins staff, Gould leads 3 daily meditation sessions. In Indiana, some hospitals are offering virtual group therapy sessions for staff.
No one is in this alone, that if you're experiencing certain feelings, that it's almost guaranteed that many others are as well. So connect with others in some capacity and share your feelings.
For SideFX Public Media, I'm Carter Barrett.